Which would you rather? Where would you rather live out of these two places? Where would you rather be in isolation? In the lush garden or the dry, empty wilderness? Well, if you're joining us for the first time, or maybe you're watching Future on YouTube, you're one of those five lucky people. We have been tracing the history of the Israelite people, the Jews. They were slaves in Egypt, but rescued amazingly by God. And now they're traveling to a new home that God has given them, called the Promised Land. And why are we studying this ancient history? Well, it's because it has so much to teach us even today. Although these people lived thousands of years ago in a place thousands of miles away from us, we've actually discovered that they're not so different from ourselves. And of course, the God they were following then, we've also discovered that he is the same God that we can follow now. He's the God who speaks today. And I believe that if you lean in and listen up this morning, he will speak to you as well. So we're joining the Israelites on their journey as they travel through the desert of Zin, the wilderness. And the question that I want to ask today is this: why the wilderness? Why the wilderness? Why did God rescue his people from Egypt in slavery, only to lead them round and round a barren desert for 40 years? Why not take them straight away to the Promised Land? After all, you'd be pretty miffed if you booked a holiday abroad, but then you spent the next 40 years stuck in passport control. Why is it different with God? God says he loves his people. So why then does God choose to take them through difficult and dangerous territory where they will be tired and hungry and upset? And perhaps even as I ask that question, you can already see how the wilderness could be a picture for our lives as well. Why does God sometimes take us through difficult and dangerous times? Why does God allow us to go through heartbreaking times, stressful times, times where we are hungry and tired and upset? Why the wilderness? So let's follow along with the Israelites and with their leader Moses and find some answers. So we're going to read from Numbers chapter 20, verses 1 to 13. If you are following this via Zoom, then I've got the passage up for us to look through. If you're on the phone listening in and you have a Bible close by, look it up. Numbers chapter 20, verses 1 to 13. And the people of Israel, the whole congregation, came into the wilderness of Zin in the first month, and the people stayed in Kadesh. And Miriam, that's Moses' sister, died there and was buried there. Now there was no water for the congregation, and they assembled themselves together against Moses and against Aaron. And the people quarreled with Moses and said, "Would that we had perished when our brothers perished before the Lord. Why have you brought the assembly of the Lord into this wilderness that we should die here, both we and our cattle? And why have you made us come up out of Egypt to bring us to this evil place? It's no place for grain or figs or vines or pomegranates, and there is no water to drink." Then Moses and Aaron went from the presence of the assembly to the entrance of the tent of meeting and fell on their faces. And the glory of the Lord appeared to them. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Take the staff and assemble the congregation, you and Aaron your brother, and tell the rock before their eyes to yield its water. So you shall bring water out of the rock for them and give drink to the congregation and to their cattle." And Moses took the staff from before the Lord as he commanded him. Then Moses and Aaron gathered the assembly together before the rock. And he said to them, "Hear now, you rebels, shall we bring water for you out of this rock?" And Moses lifted up his hand and struck the rock with his staff twice, and water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank and their livestock. And the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, "Because you did not believe in me to uphold me as holy in the eyes of the people of Israel, Therefore, you shall not bring this assembly into the land that I have given them. These are the waters of Meribah, where the people of Israel quarreled with the Lord, and through them he showed himself holy. So why the wilderness? Here's our first answer. The wilderness is for thirsting. The wilderness is a place that's empty of life. Deserts are deserted for a reason. It's hard to survive in a place where there's no easy access to food and water. The Sahara Desert, which is the largest desert in the world, is just a little bit smaller than the entire United States and yet has less people living in it than live in Wales. That's crazy. My little desert experience was that when I was younger, we went to visit some relatives that I have over in the United Arab Emirates near Dubai. And we got to go on one of those cool little desert treks where you all pile into jeeps and you start to drive over the sand dunes. But our jeep was at the back of the group. And as we tried to get over one of these sand dunes, the wheels started to spin. We started to struggle. And in the end, it became clear that we were stuck. We were going to need to get pulled out. The problem was, being at the back of the group, everyone else had gone. And there was just this moment where I looked out across sand dunes as far as I could see, like this seemingly endless desert. And I just thought, this is going to be hard. If we're stuck here for good, this is going to be tough. The wilderness is not a place that you want to end up getting stuck in. And for the Israelites, the wilderness was, as it says in verse 5, an evil place. It was a place of death. This is where Miriam, Moses' sister, had died, as we see in verse 1. It was a struggle to survive. The big problem is laid out for us in verse 2. They had no water. There was no water in this desert. And being travelers in tents, they couldn't just go and turn on the tap. They had no water and they were feeling it hard. And then what does your wilderness look like? If we think of the wilderness as a picture, a metaphor, when has your life felt dry? What are the times when you felt friendship has been missing? Or maybe there have been times where you felt exhausted with discouragement. Or physically, times where your body was hurting so badly you felt you couldn't go on. Did you ever wonder why? Well, the wilderness is for thirsting. When everything is taken, it reveals what you really need. When everything is taken, it reveals what you really need. It's been interesting seeing which industries have been affected most by the coronavirus lockdown. The fashion industry has taken a massive hit. And for those of you who can see me at the moment, you can probably tell I've not got a lot of sympathy there. Why is the fashion industry being hit? Because people are more interested in wearing face masks now than they are Dolce & Gabbana. And I've got to show you this. For those of you who are on the phones, when I typed in Dolce & Gabbana into Google, I had this image came up of what can only really be described as a bad Christmas jumper. It's like a stained glass window with Napoleon sat in the middle. And it's yours for the price of only £725. I think that says it all. That's why the fashion industry is struggling. We're realizing in this lockdown how much we've cluttered up our lives with stuff that doesn't actually matter. The wilderness is a place of humbling, where we realize that we are not all powerful. We realize that actually we're weak, we're needy, we're not in control. And these are painful things to realize, but they're actually really, really important things to realize. These should be things which are on our list of essentials, realizing that we are not God and we need him. That's the first answer to why we need times of wilderness. The wilderness is for thirsting. Second answer, the wilderness is for testing. It's one thing to know what you need, but choosing where to look for it is another. don't know how to get rid of that thing on the side of my screen. There we go. Okay. Knowing what you need is one thing. Choosing where to look for it is another. When you are thirsty, where do you go looking for water? You don't lower a bucket down the drain, even though you can get water there. You don't stick a straw into the toilet, even though there's water there as well. Where do you go? You go to the tap, because the water there is clean and clear and refreshing. The Israelites basically want to get their water from a drain. They're craving the life that they had back in Egypt. Sure, in Egypt they had grapes and figs and pomegranates, as they say, but they also had endless back-breaking slave labor, and they seem to have forgotten that. At first, when you look at this story, it just seems like they're having a major case of rose-tinted spectacles, the good old days. Back in Egypt, things were better. But you know, it's even worse than that, because the Israelites have been in this exact same situation before. They've been to the desert of Zin before. They've thirsted before at the same place. They've brought the same complaints to Moses. Back in Exodus 17, which we actually looked at, Simon preached on I think the 23rd of October in 2016, in Exodus 17, on their first lap of the wilderness, the same thing happened. They complained, they wanted to go back to Egypt, and guess what? God provided water from the rock at Meribah, the exact same rock that they could see from their tent openings every morning. So they knew that God could provide what they needed. They'd actually seen him miraculously provide before, and yet they still wanted to go back to Egypt again. It's the same thing happening again. But before we get too outraged at them, let's ask the question, do we ever act like this? Do we always trust God for what we need? Do we always learn the lesson the first time round? Or are we tempted to go elsewhere? It's easy to judge the Israelites when we know what happens next, when we can see just a few verses later, God providing water for them. But when we're in the middle of wilderness times, it's not so simple, is it? Psalm 81 speaks about this event that we're studying this morning and says this: I tested you at the waters of Meribah. Hear, O my people, while I admonish you, O Israel, if you would but listen to me. I tested you. See, God allowed the people to get thirsty in the wilderness to test them, to see where their loyalty really lay, to see whether they would trust him even when things got desperate. And sadly, they failed the test. Even Moses here, this time round, God tells him to speak to the rock, but Moses dishonors God before all the people by striking the rock instead, and God's not happy with that. Moses had a choice, and he chose to take matters into his own hands. The Israelites had a choice, and they chose to look back to Egypt. And we have a choice as well. When you know what you really need, you have a choice. Each day in lockdown is a choice. It's a fresh day and fresh choices. How are we going to survive this lockdown? Now, I've heard loads of people offering advice on the news, on social media. Lots of people saying, you know, get on Netflix, enjoy what's there, cook up some fancy recipes, here you go. Make sure you do your daily exercise. Keep talking to people. Don't keep talking to people if that's doing your head in. Read the news. Make sure you're in touch with what's going on. Don't read the news if that's stressing you out. There's so much advice. There's one statistic that I came across this week that hasn't had as much publicity. It's the number of people who are Googling a certain phrase. The number of people who are Googling how to pray has actually rocketed. More people are Googling how to pray than at any other time in the year. Isn't that amazing? In this wilderness time, people, and I assume they're not Christians, they're not people of faith, otherwise they wouldn't be asking how to pray. People are wondering How do I contact God? How do I pray? Now, I imagine, and I hope a lot of you listening to this will already have prayer as a key part of surviving life in lockdown. How do I pray? You simply talk to God. It can be out loud or it can be in your head. Maybe you tell him your worries, your thoughts, your plans, your hopes. Maybe you ask him to lead you forward, even if it's just forward day by day, and help you to live these days well for him. The amazing thing about prayer is that even the simplest prayer, prayed from the most baby Christian or the most baby believer, is an admission that only God can give me what I need. Prayer is an admission that only God can give me what I really need. And you know what? Prayer doesn't seem like a very impressive response to a major crisis, does it? It's not like the army building an entire new hospital in a week, or scientists developing some vaccine in a lab. But God's test for the Israelites and for Moses was not a rock-solid physical army-style test. God's test for the Israelites was not a solve-the-problem, crystal maze-style test that only brainy scientists could do. God's test for the Israelites was a test of humility. Are you humble enough to ask me? Are you humble enough to trust me? Are you humble enough to admit that you don't have the answers? The wilderness is for testing. And then our final answer, why the wilderness? The wilderness is for thriving. Now, before we look at this last answer, I just want to pause for a moment, because we've been talking a lot in pictures, haven't we? We've been talking about wilderness and water and thirst. And maybe as we talked about feeling thirsty, you've actually started to want to drink. But you know, physical thirst, it's not a problem for us, is it? I can just see Pete's going for his mug there. Nice one, Pete. Physical thirst is not a problem for us, is it? We just go to the tap, no big deal. It's a picture used in the Bible. Why does the Bible use pictures? Well, the Bible is the story of God, who he is and how we can know him. But of course, as our youngest kids will quickly point out, we can't see God. God is a spiritual being and our eyes only see what's physical. So how can we know someone we can't see? Well, one way that the Bible uses is pictures. Pictures. We do this all the time when we're describing each other. I might say, Micah was like lightning in that football match. And you know straight away that I'm saying he was moving quickly and not that he was glowing and electrocuting other players. It's a picture. And the Bible is super helpful for us. It uses physical things that we see around us with our eyes to help us understand spiritual things which we can't see. So, what are the pictures in this story? Well, we've seen thirst, and that's a picture of our deepest need. We've seen water, that's a picture of God's deepest provision. But there's also rock. What is rock a picture of? Let's read from 1 Corinthians 10, verses 1 to 5. Let's find out what rock is a picture of. For I do not want you to be unaware, brothers, that our fathers, and he's talking about the Israelites in this section we're reading, our fathers were all under the cloud and all passed through the sea and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. And all ate the same spiritual food and all drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them. And the rock was Christ. Can you see what these verses are saying? The Israelites didn't just have physical needs of thirst and hunger. They also had spiritual needs, deeper needs. And so God didn't just provide for them physical drink, the water from the rock. He was also providing for them spiritual drink. And for us, where does that spiritual drink, where does that living water come from? It comes from the spiritual rock, And these verses say that that rock, all those years ago, that rock was Christ. It's a picture for us. What does it mean? What does it mean for us? Well, as we've looked at this story, it suddenly means we need to look at everything differently. We need to allow this wilderness time to take us deeper. We need to ask, not just what are my immediate needs, but what is my deepest need? Because it's not just getting through this healthy, is it? And it's not just making sure we can pay the bills or keep food and drink on the table. Those are needs, but they're not our deepest need. All of us, whether it's in lockdown or in normal life, we've all had times where we have been aware of deep pain and brokenness and even guilt in ourselves. And those other things, food, drink, money, pleasure, family, they can all be wonderful things to enjoy, but they can also sometimes be distractions which stop us from asking the question, what is my deepest need? And stop us from addressing that deepest need, seeking to meet that deepest need. Our deepest need is God Himself. Our spiritual need is God's Holy Spirit, His living water flowing in and through us. Only He can provide healing for our brokenness. Only He can wash clean our sin. And only He can make us whole. Ah, if only God would make that living water available for us all. He has. Right, He has. Listen to this. John chapter 7, verses 37 to 39. On the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." Unfortunately, John also explains to us what this picture means. Now this he said about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive. Jesus Christ has a simple invitation for you this morning. If you feel that thirst, if you know that your deepest need is for forgiveness, and your deepest need is not being met by Netflix or by fancy recipes or any of those other things, if you know your deepest need for forgiveness this morning, then come to Jesus and drink. Believe in him. Take that simple first step of asking him to overflow you with life by his Spirit. And you can have confidence that Jesus is able to provide that living water, because Jesus is the one who was stricken by God. He's the one who was put up on that cross. And just as Moses struck the rock, even though he wasn't supposed to, he acted in disobedience. So Jesus was crucified by wicked men who put him to death, even though they should never have done something like that. But it was part of God's plan to provide living water for his people. Through Jesus's death, the fountains of heaven were opened up so that you and me might be filled by his Spirit, washed clean, given new and overflowing life. The water is deep, but you don't have to be afraid. So I just invite you, whoever you are this morning, maybe you're not even intending to watch this, maybe you're just in the room with someone who's watching this and you're listening in, well, please come to Jesus. Now, where you are, have your deepest needs met in Jesus. Humble yourself and come to him. Keep pressing the arrow key when I should be swiping my script. Right. And for those of us who already know him, Jesus has a simple encouragement for you. The wilderness is for thriving. Okay, the wilderness is for thriving. Because Christ Jesus is here now, in lockdown. He's here with you, in isolation. And he's still the same rescuing, redeeming Savior as when he first found you in slavery to your sin. And just like with the Israelites, he's the rock that follows you. Did you notice that in that passage? I'll skip back to it. They drank from the spiritual rock that followed them. You ever come across a rock that follows you around? Well, Jesus is the rock that follows you through the good times, through the lush gardens of life where everything is green and good, and also through the wilderness times. And because he doesn't change, if our circumstances are different, we don't have to change either. When you choose Christ the rock, you get overflowing life. When you choose Christ the rock, you get overflowing life. He invites you to know that renewed life, that overflowing life in him this morning. So let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for providing a way for us to know you, for our hearts to be filled with the living water of your Holy Spirit. Lord, thank you for Jesus, that what he accomplished on that cross was to open heaven's gates so that we could know you, we could come in, we could be part of your family. Lord, thank you that gives us hope even beyond death in this time of fear, this time of worry, this time of isolation. Thank you that with Jesus, we are never alone. He's the rock that follows us through the ups and the downs of life. So we praise you and thank you this morning, Jesus. Amen.